You're listening to Popstar Conversations, taking you inside with your favorite musical artists.
Today, Chuck and I are sitting here with the incredible Kylie Minogue. Kylie, welcome to the show.
It's a pleasure to have you here.
Kylie, it's amazing. It's been 30 years since you put out your first record.
I come across a lot of people who, you know, whether it's, you know, journalists, producers, people in TV, floor managers, I say, yep, you know, it's been 15 years, 20 years, 25 years, 30 years. And I do feel, you know, there's of course a part of you that goes, oh my God, really? That makes me feel old, but it's a long time, yeah. And strangely, I feel, as far as the recording goes and the challenge and the stimulation of making an album, that still feels fresh to me. I feel like there's so much more to learn and to do.
This album, Golden, you did the recording in Nashville. Did you think that recording there influenced the outcome?
When I started work on the album, my A&R guy had said, okay, well, you're going in with XYZ. He said, yeah, when you're in there, think about, I don't know, like if there's a little country element. And I said, yeah, sure, okay. But what do you mean? He said, I don't know what I mean. I mean, just put it in the back of your head and try and incorporate something. So it really took a few months to find, to really, I don't think he could express it. I think he heard something, and for reasons beyond just the sound of country. But I think through that kind of songwriting, you can adapt the production to live in my world. But through that songwriting, you can kind of get a different truth and tell a different story, perform differently, deliver the, write different lyrics, sing it differently. Yet, as you say, sounding like a Kylie album still, but it was a great challenge. I was scratching my head for quite a while trying to reach that point, but once we found the kind of the hybrid, it all started to make sense to me.
Prior to this record, you've never had a banjo on any of your other recordings, had you?
I don't think I've ever had a banjo on a record. I've had a fiddle player on a record before, but yeah, the banjo does appear. Yeah.
How did you like Nashville? Did you have any time to socialize? Maybe catch some other acts?
I loved it. I mean, I wasn't. I had 2 weeks in Nashville. I loved every second of being there. I can't wait to go back. And it's true. Before I went, I started asking different writers and producers I was with in the studio. I just say, hey, I think I'm going to Nashville. Have you been? And without fail, anyone who had been said, you're going to love it. You will love it. Let me email you the restaurants to go to, the coffee shop, where to get the best coffee, where's the best vintage store, you've got to go to this honky-tonk bar, the blah, 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 blah. Like, it went on and on. Like, they just, it was a surge of love for the city. And my trip got postponed a couple of times, and I was starting to think, no, I'm so excited to go to Nashville. Am I going to get there? So I did get there, and it was incredible. But it wasn't what I had in mind. I'd kind of thought, oh, it might be a bit like the mainstream, you know, what I've seen of New Orleans, which is all those kind of low-rise wooden buildings and a little bit dilapidated but full of spirit. And Nashville City was nothing like that at all. It was really very modern, cosmopolitan, but the sense of it being a musical city is really unavoidable. I did mingle. I went to the Bluebird Cafe and the Listening Room, both of which were incredible. Being a member of the audience, you've got all different ages at these venues who were there just to listen to songwriters talk about the song that they'd written. They may be the singer, they may just be they've written the song and an artist has sung it, but it's just they're at kind of the altar of the song, like the church of the song.
Performing in Nashville, would that be something that you would really love to do?
I couldn't help but think when I went to those places, I mean, I'm like this a lot when I'm in an audience. Like, kind of part of me is, you know, it feels a bit strange because there's something inside me going, you need to get on the stage. No, simmer down, Minogue. Shut up, sit in the audience. But, yeah, I couldn't help think at those places, wow, I wonder if I'll come back and do something like that myself and talk about being in Nashville or a little bit about where the song came from.
Since you're going in this direction, would you ever have considered working with Dolly Parton?
I think my A&R might have reached out to her people. It's a very good question. I think we needed to let the album, the balance of country to pop ratio, I think, you know, we've worked really hard to try to get that right. And perhaps if Dolly was there in the initial stage, it might have been too much. But now that people are starting to familiarize themselves with the sound, if I ever got to perform with Dolly Parton, I don't know how. I'd probably need a stiff drink. I would be so nervous. I'd be really, really trying hard to keep it together.
While you were in Nashville, did anyone mention to you that infamous saying, "What would Dolly do?"
I bought the T-shirt in Nashville. I bought a T-shirt that says, "What would Dolly do?" And I remember I was talking to my brother in Australia, and I said, "Oh, I got this T-shirt." I sent him a picture. I said, "I got this T-shirt. What would Dolly do?" And he said to me, "Well, what would Dolly do? Why don't you ask her?" I said, "Don't be crazy. I don't have access. I can't just call Dolly Parton up." But he was right. Maybe that should be my mantra from now. What would Dolly do?
The lyrics in this album, they seem quite personal. Was that therapeutic for you?
Well, the first phase of writing the album was more just, that was where I was just getting stuff out of my system, and it turned out the songs were not that great. I think I was so focused on just getting the words out that I didn't have enough distance to make it a good song. So I think that was good in retrospect to just blah, 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 get it out of my system, rebuild myself, regain my sense of self and feel kind of strong again, but feeling very much still in touch with those emotions. And why do we do... Why? I mean, I can only speak for myself, but I think it's a universal subject. Why do we do the things we... Why do we change in a relationship? What are we searching for? Why did we think it was right when it was wrong? Or why did we not see it when it was so right? The same old questions.
When it comes to love, I guess we're all teenagers at heart, aren't we?
It's the best. The first flush of love. Of course that's the best. It's incredible. But then, you know, the different levels of knowing and understanding of and of a deeper love. I know people often like to paint me as a bit of a failure in that department, but maybe it's just not my destiny yet anyway to have had the one. There's a lot of pressure on the one. And I, you know, there's part of me that thinks, well, maybe they're out there, and then another part of me thinks, maybe they're not. Maybe that's just not for everyone.
Do you think it's possible for a person to have it all?
I honestly don't know. I mean, there's people who do. I don't think anyone really has it all. If you had it all, what would drive you? What would make you, you know, how would you relate to people if you had it all? I think you would be kind of living in the clouds or something, or be suppressing some, you know, sadness is a part of, somehow a part of joy if you don't know both. Wait, I'm going way too deep.
Your song, A Lifetime to Repair, is that about your recent relationship, and what have I learned from it?
It's full on, and when you've had a kind of public romance as well, but even not so much that, I think anyone, it's your friends, your family, your work colleagues. And so, yeah, there's a point where you think, can I go through this again? I probably will. No doubt I will. And it may be a different set of highs and lows and dramas and whatever, but, you know, that's a part of life. I think, you know, we're all, we kind of like to think that we've kind of, sort of, almost got it figured out, but we're complicated beings, so to make it work with another complicated being, it stands to reason it's not going to be easy.
And your song, Radio On, does that give you hope?
And to believe in a love song, I think having that kind of, having a bit of that dream is a lovely thing to hang on to. And you see it around you with people where they have, you know, there is a love. I don't think there's any love without complications, though. It's just, you have to manage them.
Do you think that you sacrificed by not having a family life, but having this fantastic career?
There's been moments where, yeah, I would have thought this I'm going around in circles. Aren't I meant to do what those happy-looking people are doing? But you don't know what's behind closed doors. You don't know what the real story is. We all put on a bit of a face. But it's a good question. Would I trade it all in? I honestly don't know. I really, what I do is so much a part of my being and how I relate to being in the world. I can't imagine not doing it. But I do know life without having a partner, and it's okay. There's pros and cons to being in or out of a relationship, but I can't imagine not having this, to be able to sing and be creative in different ways.
What inspired you to come up with the title of this record, Golden?
I just had a phrase in my mind, which was, I'm not young and I'm not old. And then I thought, well, just be golden. And then I took it away from the first person because I'm asked a lot about being my age in the industry, and I've had to kind of, I get sick of being asked about it, but I understand the need for, or the interest and the reason for the question. But it's true, I'm not young, I'm not a teenager, I'm not the younger generation, but I'm not old, or at least I don't think I'm old, but everything's relative. So golden, I turned that into more of a universal theme that we're not young and we're not old, we're golden. You can't be younger than you are. You can't make yourself younger. You can't make yourself older. So just be yourself, shine as best you can at that point in your life, because that's what it is. And then further to that, I thought, oh, gold is, you know, symbolically, there's a lot of great things that are gold. Gold is strong. Gold's malleable. You can change it into different things. The sun shines in the daylight. The moon shines in the night. So just try to be golden wherever you are in your life, and whether it's a light part in your life or a dark part in your life. It's very hard to be asked about age. Of course, your body's going to tell you one thing or respond one thing. But in the mind, it depends which way you look at it.
Before we go, I'd like to ask you a question. There's so much going on with women finally getting their voice. And we have this new movement, the Me Too movement. What are your thoughts?
I think it's great that there's this empowerment for women to feel they've got a platform and a safe environment to avoid as much as possible. Bullying, abuse, of course, wrong is wrong, and I thankfully have never had any of those experiences, but it did, the whole movement has made me ask myself, if I had any story to varying degrees of what people are talking about, how I would feel so empowered and galvanized by what's happening. shouldn't have happened in the first place, but let's try and sort it out. And it's men and women who are finding the strength to say that. I just hope that, I've said this before, I just hope that common sense, have we all lost common sense? I know there's a grey zone, and that's down to individuals, so you can't have a blanket statement that works for everybody. Sure, wrong's wrong. I'm putting that aside, but I would hope that common sense, we can all kind of still access that.
Kylie, it has been an absolute pleasure having you here. Again, thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
Thank you again for listening to Popstar Conversations. Be sure to click the subscribe button below and hit the red bell so that you'll be notified of our next exclusive interview.
Thank you for listening to Popstar Conversations. Please join us again for another conversation with your favorite musical artist.